Inside Racing.
And welcome in another beautiful Saturday morning here in Delaware, Ohio. You've got Off to the Races on my 96.7 WDLR as well as AM 1270. The show today brought to you by our good friends at the Ohio Harness Horsemen's Association. Breed in Ohio, buy in Ohio, race in Ohio, and win in Ohio. Also brought to you by the Ohio State University Veterinary Medical Center, caring down to a science, and Cashman's Horse Equipment Outlet and Drive-Thru Feed Store. Visit them online at cashmans.com. Busy show today. We've got driver Chris Page joining us. Also, the TV analyst of Scioto Downs, Jenna Otten. You've got Off to the Races. We'll get the ball rolling coming up.
Love horses? If you show, race, or just like to ride, Ohio State's Galbraith Equine Center is here to help your horse live its best life. Our team of board-certified equine specialists provide world-class medical care and surgical care, 24-hour emergency critical care, neonatal intensive care, and advanced diagnostics and imaging 365 days a year. On-farm care is also available through our Columbus and Marysville locations. Call 614-292-6661. Ohio State's Galbraith Equine Center. Caring down to a science.
Join the fast-paced, exciting world of harness racing. There are hundreds of immediate openings across Ohio for caretakers and grooms. Work with the greatest equine athletes in the country. Standardbred trainers need your help. Health insurance, vision care, prescription benefits, and a retirement plan are available for those that qualify. For more information on how you could be a part of the exciting world of harness racing, call 614-221-3650. That's 614-221-3650.
Cashman's Horse Equipment, proudly serving the equine and livestock community for over 40 years. Do you need rubber mats for your horse stalls? Horse safe fencing for your farm? A round pen to exercise your next winter? Cashman's has you covered, featuring the highest quality items at the best prices. Visit our friendly and knowledgeable team Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. and shop over 10 acres of inventory. Conveniently located in Delaware, Ohio on US 42 North, just minutes from the home of the iconic Little Brown Jug. Or shop online anytime at cashmans.com.
We are back on Off to the Races. Mike Bozich here. We're joined by a very special guest, one of the state of Ohio's very own, driver Chris Page. Chris, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike. Thanks for having me.
7,246 wins is how many career wins that you have, over $78 million in career earnings. Not too bad from a kid that grew up locally and in Mount Vernon. Your first career win all the way back, Chris, if I'm wrong, please correct me, August 5th, 2001, at the Champaign County Fairgrounds in Urbana, a horse by the name of Titanic Fellow. Do you remember that first win?
Yeah, everything you said's been very accurate. Yeah, and I do remember it. It was a family horse. My uncle bred it, raised it, and raced it, and I was a would have been a sophomore in high school, or no, a junior in high school. And went over there and got my first win, got my first dub.
That was all the way back in 2001, and you said you were in junior in high school. When did you know that you wanted to be a driver?
So, we were, you know, my family's like a hobby. They got hobby horsemen, you know. They were working a real job, and then he'd do the horses on the side of my uncle's. But we all would get together on the third Thursday in September and come over and watch the Little Brown Jug. And back in 1994, I think it was my first jug. I haven't missed one since. But there was something that just kind of like attracted me to it. I became obviously I was a fan first, a big time John Campbell fan, and kind of got that bug, that itch from Delaware here at the Jug. And then that's kind of, and everything kind of spiraled from there. The love of the sport and really become a fan of John Campbell and following him around.
Well, I'll tell you what, if you want to be a driver, there's certainly no better person to look up to and follow around than one of the best that ever sat in a race bike. You know, one of the big things as we advance in your career kind of is the relationship that you have forged with trainer Ron Burke. You've gotten a chance to drive a lot of great horses for the Burke Brigade over the last several years. Tell us about how that relationship transpired.
Yeah, how it actually started was at Northfield Park. I was going up on their featured day on Mondays, and guys just kept on choosing off his horses. And I'd be maybe, you know, I didn't have one in the race, and I kind of got put up. And then we started doing good, so he just started listing me. And probably for the first, I don't know, 5 years of our, maybe three or four, I don't know, 5 years, I'd say, that I was driving for him, I maybe said three words to the guy, you know, a little intimidating, you know, didn't see him much, kind of like a mystic creature, like a unicorn he was. So that's how it transpired. And then it's kind of moved in. He's actually one of my closer friends now. So it's kind of cool how it started, where it's at, and where we went from there.
Visiting with driver Chris Page. For those of you that don't know, that might be listening, that are kind of new to the sport of harness racing, of course, Ron Burke, one of the leading trainers, not only here in the state of Ohio, but also across the country. Now, Chris, let's fast forward to October 6, 2024. It was a big milestone for you. You got your 7,000th career win. That was back at Northfield Park. And listen, I've interviewed a lot of drivers in my career. And, you know, some drivers say they're really, you know, they don't, it's just another race. Some drivers kind of look forward to milestones more than other. What was your kind of feeling coming up on that 7,000th win and getting that monkey off your back?
Yeah, you know, a couple things went through my mind. Like, man, I'm getting old, you know, you've been 7,000 races, but, you know, sometimes you just, you know, it was a good chance to kind of like, maybe, take a minute and kind of reflect on where I'm at, where I was, and kind of where I want to go from there. It was a real accomplishment for me, you know, starting out just kind of, you know, I didn't have the last name, you know, per se in the business. So, just kind of feeling my way through it as a young guy to get to 7,000 was definitely a good feeling, Mike.
Let's talk a little bit about that little brown jug win back in 2022 with By the Missile. Now, here's a horse that really shouldn't have been there. I mean, had to pay the supplement fee of $45,000 the Burke Connections did. And I know that a local kid, a kid that, you know, grew up with the little brown jug right down the road in Mount Vernon, I know this had to be a real, real special moment for you to win that race.
Yeah, let's just touch on By the Missile. It's funny you said that. You know, in April of 2022, I'm winning non-winners of two at Miami Valley. And for him to go on to win the little brown jug, you know, he wasn't on, like you said, wasn't on the radar, so had the supplement in there and the whole nine yards. So it made for a special story for me, myself, and I, you know, just being, like I said, the love of the little brown jug. And everybody has a bucket list race. You know, I want to win, you know, some guys want to win the Hamiltonian, some want to win the North American Cup. Mine was a little brown jug. Like that was, you know, professionally, I thought to myself, I could win that race, I could die a happy man professionally. So, stars kind of come together, and it definitely worked out.
And it was local connections all around. Of course, you being a kid from right down the road, and, By the Missile, the horse itself, first Ohio Sire Jug Champion since the late 1980s. That's crazy. Almost 35, 40 years it went by since an Ohio Sired horse won that race. So that had to make it all the more special.
Yeah, you know, it says something for the breed in Ohio. Our breeding program strong, and it's back. You know, it might have took a little bit of a break, you know, a little bit of a recession there, but Ohio's back, and they can, obviously the Down by the Seasides can compete anywhere on the Grand Circuit level, so that was cool too.
All right, let's talk about modern day. A couple of wins on the Ohio Sire Stakes circuit as that program is starting off again. That's the great thing about this time of year. You get all these stakes horses back. And first division of the Ohio Sire Stakes, or first leg, I should say, of the Ohio Sire Stakes for the three-year-old Colton Paces got underway last Saturday at Northfield Park. And you had a couple of wins. Fear the Hate for trainer Ron Burke. This is a horse that went 52-4 and won a leg in that $65,000 race. He's 3-for-3 for the year. Horse really not heard from much at two, but boy, he's certainly making waves to start out his three-year-old campaign.
Yeah, great eye on the owner's part there, and Ronnie, to purchase this horse off On Gate, off Tim Lane. They definitely talent scouts, and they seen something they liked in the horse. And boy, he's very nice.
Yeah, most certainly. And then, of course, in that second division, another winner there for you guys, a horse by the name of Rick Wink. Now, all the people that follow the Ohio Sire Stakes are very familiar with this guy. He was a multiple Sire Stakes winner at two and was the favorite in the final, settled for third behind a couple of nice horses there, which coincidentally was both trained by Ron Burke and Sipping on Ciroc and Swingtown. But three-year-old coming up as a three-year-old, and obviously that switch from two to three is not automatic. I mean, that's a tough transition for a horse, but it looked like with that win on Saturday, he made it look pretty easy.
Yeah, and the transition from two to three, some horses get better, some horses stay the same, and some go the other direction. Fortunately for Rick Wink, he come back even a little bigger, but he looks like he's still a stud. So he looks like a bodybuilder out there. He come back, he's absolutely gorgeous this year. It's going to be fun to see what this year has in store for him.
We've got more Off to the Races coming up after this timeout.
Cashman's Horse Equipment, proudly serving the equine and livestock community for over 40 years. Do you need rubber mats for your horse stalls? Horse-safe fencing for your farm? A round pen to exercise your next winter? Cashman's has you covered, featuring the highest quality items at the best prices. Visit our friendly and knowledgeable team Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. and shop over 10 acres of inventory. Conveniently located in Delaware, Ohio, on US 42 North, just minutes from the home of the iconic Little Brown Jug. Or shop online anytime at cashmans.com.
Love horses? If you show, race, or just like to ride, Ohio State's Galbraith Equine Center is here to help your horse live its best life. Our team of board-certified equine specialists provide world-class medical care and surgical care, 24-hour emergency critical care, neonatal intensive care, and advanced diagnostics and imaging 365 days a year. On-farm care is also available through our Columbus and Marysville locations. Call 614-292-6661. Ohio State's Galbraith Equine Center. Caring. Down to a science.
Join the fast-paced, exciting world of harness racing. There are hundreds of immediate openings across Ohio for caretakers and grooms. Work with the greatest equine athletes in the country. Standardbred trainers need your help. Health insurance, vision care, prescription benefits, and a retirement plan are available for those that qualify. For more information on how you can be a part of the exciting world of harness racing, call 614-221-3650. That's 614-221-3650.
And welcome back to Off to the Races. Mike Bozich here, and you've got 96.7 WDLR AM 1270 on this Saturday morning. And right now we are joined by the TV analyst of Scioto Downs, the one, the only, Jenna Otten. Jen, welcome to the program.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right. Well, Jenna, first of all, a lot of the Ohio folks and, listening for the very first time that may not know exactly who you are. First of all, you're from Michigan. Now, we know there's an Ohio State, Michigan thing going on here, and you're in Ohio and you're from Michigan. So hopefully I didn't call you out too much there. But you grew up in the horse racing business. I was at Azle Park for 10 years. Very familiar, of course, with your dad, Peter, who drives and trains horses in Michigan. Nanda, Canada, when Windsor was going on. Certainly missed that place. But tell us a little bit about your early days and growing up in the business.
Oh, yeah. It's been tough moving to Columbus, being a big Wolverine fan, but we're making it work. And people think that can translate me to an Ohio State fan, but it will absolutely never happen. But yeah, growing up in the business was fun. You mentioned Windsor. That was always super fun to go to. Me and my sister were young when that was still around, but it was fun. And in the winter, or in the summer, I believe, we would go to Hiawatha and then even Western Fair. And sometimes if we were lucky, we got to go up to Woodbine Mohawk Park with my dad when he would travel up there a little bit. But for the most part, Azle Park was the place to be back in the summer days. It was always super fun, and that's really when I kind of got started. And then, of course, I grew up only 8 miles away from Sports Creek Raceway, and my mom was a teller there, and obviously my dad was a driver and trainer there, so I grew up there as well, and it was super close to home, so it was always really convenient and fun to go. And take friends to the races. That was literally, I think, elementary school, maybe middle school. It was a super fun place to grow up in the Michigan Dash kind of Canadian racing.
Now, I had a chance to work with Jessica on several occasions and had a chance to see Jessica grow up. She was, pretty young when, of course, during the Hazel Park days. But, she is now on with the Meadowlands, and, of course, she's had a big influence on your career. But back in my mind, I have to wonder if there's a little bit still that sibling rivalry now that you both are kind of on the same career trajectory.
Yeah, of course. I mean, when we handicap programs together or do the show together, I always want to beat her with giving out more on top picks, of course. I was always the competitive sister growing up. Jessica played sports, but I played all throughout high school and even college. So I was, she'll be mad, but I was the athlete of the family. I was the competitor. I absolutely hate losing to anybody. I don't let anybody win. Even my poor little cousins growing up, I don't let them go win the soccer game out in the front yard. I love winning. So when we do work together, yeah, we keep pretty close tabs on who's giving out more winners or whatnot.
Visiting with the TV analyst of Scioto Downs, Jenna Otten. Now, Jenna, you studied 4 years in college, something totally different, though, other than horse racing. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, I actually went to University of Michigan Flint for 1 year, lived at home and played hockey. I was studying business then, and then kind of COVID hit, lack of better terms. I just kind of dropped out. It was super hard to like get enrolled and stuff, and just was actually a paraprofessional in an elementary school, K through five special ed classroom. I really enjoyed that. And then when COVID really hit and like the lockdown hit and we were home for however many months, I was like, I don't want to like live in the regret of not going away and seeing what college could have brought to me. So out of high school, I had a bunch of offers to play golf at very, very small schools. So I applied to a few of those, and one of them reached out literally within 10 minutes, it felt like, Coach Moss from Olivet College. So got it kind of set up, had a call with him. He said he'd be interested in taking me on the team and whatnot. So went and visited there. I wasn't really sure. I kind of knew I didn't want to go back into business. Obviously, it wasn't grabbing my attention. I love sports. I love the psychology thing of kind of people. So they had a major called sports psychology, and I went to Olivet College for the next 3 years, studied sports psychology, and played golf there. So, yeah, so I'm totally not broadcast or media or marketing, whatever. So I'm way different.
But, you know, one thing, and this is one thing I learned from doing a multiple broadcast with Jessica, is that you guys bring a different perspective, especially when you talk about handicapping, because you guys are so familiar with horses, and there are a lot of times that you guys could kind of pick out things or point things out that the wagering public may not necessarily know, especially from just looking at the program.
Yeah, you know, having that background in racing, kind of knowing the equipment that goes on them, and Barry Vicroy, the announcer here, is also kind of the broadcast partner. He watches these horses 365 days a year. He's really good at spotting like any sort of equipment change, bridle change, any little sort of thing. And so it kind of makes me, you know, if I want to be on his level, I kind of have to watch that too and pay very close attention to that. And sometimes equipment changes are big. We don't really do equipment cards here. I know Jessica's fortunate enough, I think they do equipment cards at the big end. But sometimes, like, if a horse is running out or running in and they make a slight equipment change and get them driving a little bit straighter, you know, that can be a big advantage to know. But, yeah, I used to love sitting behind horses. And my dad, at a very young age, let me sit behind horses. Jessica loved the barn work sort of things, rubbing on their legs and keeping them happy in there. I like the sitting behind them and trying to tell where they're off or giving suggestions on where they're off and everything. But it was pretty hard once I moved away to college to keep getting involved in the barn just because I was gone so much.
visiting with Jenna Otten from Scioto Downs. Now, Jenna, let's kind of transition a little bit. Let's talk about the action on the racetrack. And, of course, Scioto Downs over the last couple of years, not only, of course, in the state of Ohio, but I think nationwide, has really turned into one of the premier meets in harness racing in general. Last Friday, you guys had some sire stakes action, as that is starting to kick back into play here in 2025. Good to see the stakes horses getting back in action. But the three-year-old filly trotters, you guys had three-year-old filly trotters and three-year-old filly pacers. And let's talk about a couple of these horses. One of the three-year-old filly trot divisions going for $65,000. Horse by the name of Dream Something was able to pick up a win. He was a multiple, or she, I should say, was a multiple winner of Ohio Sire Stakes action last year. Disappointing rough trip eighth in the finals, but it seems like she's gotten off to a very good start here in 2025 for Team Wollum.
Yeah, there was a start last year. I believe it was earlier on in the season. I think she had like post seven, and turning from home, she out-sprinted them, and that horse really caught my eye from there on out. And then unfortunately, in the final, like you said, I believe drew post seven or eight, never really could get involved. But she made her first start of the season the week prior to the Sire Stakes and was impressive. You know, we weren't really sure how aggressive that Tyler was going to be, just being her three-year-old season's probably hopefully a long one. And you know, there's a lot of money on the line here in Ohio throughout the entire summer, but she got the job done in her first start, followed it up. Tyler had a perfect pocket trip, and actually I believe he vacated the pocket down the backside there, and she was able to win by leave about a length in the end of it. Very impressive daughter of Uncle Peter. And, you know, I've had a chance to cross paths with the connections a few times, and I really truthfully don't think it could be any better people getting to the winner's circle.
Now, of course, as handicappers, we like to look for value in a horse that is offered value on more than one occasions. One occasion is the horse that won the other division of the three-year-old filly sire stakes for trotters, and that is Aunt Laura. She won the final last year at 15-1. She made a break in her debut here this season, 2025, but then she pops the winner's circle at right around 4-1 in the sire stakes, and she's from Team Morgan, and of course, this is a stable that, no surprise, you're going to be hearing a lot about as these sire stakes kick on.
Yeah, what a season so far that Virgil's had. I believe he's like still batting like a 350 through a few weeks. But yeah, he's been the leading trainer at Scioto for the last 32 years, I want to say. It's either 31 or 32. So just obviously an incredible past few decades. Yeah, Aunt Laura was really impressive in her debut. They qualified her a few times without trotting hobbles, and they qualified her with trotting hobbles. She qualified very well at Miami Valley, and then they took them back off for a start here. She ended up making a break and then, you know, put the trotting hobbles back on. And obviously with Stellar in her seasonal debut in the Sire Stakes, I believe she cut the mile and they just could not chase her down at the end of it. But yeah, she did some good work at the age of two with the Ohio Breeders Championship, few wins in the Sire Stakes legs, and then of course winning that $300,000 final as well.
In the three-year-old filly pacing division, well, we talked about Team Morgan, and, well, the 1-2 finishers from last year's final as two-year-olds come back to win separate divisions of the three-year-old filly pacing Ohio Sire Stakes at 3 last Friday. Odds on Hialeah, the winner of last year's final, comes back nicely to win 150 and 3. It was her first start of the season. Looked like she just picked up right where she left off.
Yeah, she had no problem last year. She was a winner 7 of 8 times and was only second in one leg of the Sire Stakes. I believe the word is out. Beat her last year up at Northfield, so she was 8 of 8 on the board. She made about $325,000 last year. Stellar campaign. And in the final last year at Northfield, her stablemate, who won the other division, Odds on Chesapeake, was actually giving her a run for her money first up, obviously stablemate, so I don't know how hard the pressure really was. But, you know, Odds on Hialeah really had to dig in at the end of that mile up there, and she followed up this season with just a stellar campaign. Three qualifiers under her belt before that performance. And, you know, Brett kind of had some choices. There was a few of them that were leaving out of there, and he was very patient first over. It was no problem. I believe new lifetime mark of 15-3. So that's another one that Virgil's probably very excited to see the summer with.
We talked about odds on Chesapeake. She was the runner-up last year in the final. Two odds on Hialeah. She's a perfect two-for-two here in 2025. She banked over $157,000 a year ago. And I'll tell you what, she is no slouch in her own right. Maybe she could turn the tables and get better as this season rolls on.
Yeah, definitely. She's actually a very good-looking horse. She, like, just carries herself nicely down by the seaside. She's big. But, again, yeah, she had a stellar season herself at the age of two. Four wins of 10 tries, over $150,000 made. She qualified three times as well and was had one start here at Scioto. I believe it was a non-horse of four where she went right down the road. So she kind of had a start under her belt, and it was a short field. Danny Noble got the drive on her. He qualified her and then made that first start of the season with her as well. I got a short price on her, but to be honest with you, he kind of stole it there. Got a second quarter breather of like 29-3. And Skywalker C at the end of it, who was very good at two in her own right for trainer Todd Luther, they really were digging in, giving her a run for her money late in the mile. She was just a winner by a head, but the photo was very, very close. And I would like to see the word is out. She was a Ron Burke trainee. She was good at two as well. She kind of set the perfect pocket trip and didn't really explode late in the stretch like I thought she would. The passing lane here is very fair. So I think it really could be a good battle throughout the whole season with these three-year-old Philly Pacers. I know odds on Hialeah and odds on Chesapeake really stick out right now. But again, Skywalker C was good against odds on Chesapeake. The word is out was good. And then interesting enough, Mike, Steve Carter has a two-year-old. Her name's Riley Two. She was in that race as well. That was just her second lifetime start. Her first lifetime start, she paced in 52-4, home in 28-1. That was just her first lifetime start. So she's a three-year-old that really is starting to get going now and, you know, doesn't have the speed under her belt like these other ones have. Something that she could very possibly get as the season goes on.
Yeah, all right. Special thanks to all of our guests as we are painfully out of time. Also, special thanks to our wonderful sponsors, the Ohio Harness Horsemen's Association, Breed in Ohio, Buy in Ohio, Race in Ohio, and Win in Ohio. Also brought to you by the Ohio State University Veterinary Medical Center, Caring Down to a Science, and Cashman's Horse Equipment Outlet and Drive-Thru Feed Store. Visit them at cashmans.com. We'll see you next Saturday at 9:30 a.m. Have a good week, everybody.
It's known as the Great American Harness Race, the Little Brown Jug, and it's held right here in Delaware, Ohio. Why? Because Ohio is the heartland of harness racing. In Ohio, the Ohio Harness Horsemen's Association keeps things running smoothly and is here to make sure that harness racing remains strong. Breed in Ohio, buy in Ohio, race in Ohio, and win in Ohio. Join us and keep Ohio as the driving force of harness racing. Call 800-353-6442, the OHHA.
Cashman's Horse Equipment, proudly serving the equine and livestock community for over 40 years. Do you need rubber mats for your horse stalls? Horse-safe fencing for your farm? A round pen to exercise your next winter? Cashman's has you covered, featuring the highest quality items at the best prices. Visit our friendly and knowledgeable team Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. and shop over 10 acres of inventory. Conveniently located in Delaware, Ohio, on US 42 North, just minutes from the home of the iconic Little Brown Jug. Or shop online anytime at cashmans.com.
Love horses? If you show, race, or just like to ride, Ohio State's Galbraith Equine Center is here to help your horse live its best life. Our team of board-certified equine specialists provide world-class medical care and surgical care, 24-hour emergency critical care, neonatal intensive care, and advanced diagnostics and imaging 365 days a year. On-farm care is also available through our Columbus and Marysville locations. Call 614-292-6661. Ohio State's Galbraith Equine Center. Caring down to a science.